Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, yep, it will be on mine as far as that goes. And, you know, we were talking about Lou Christie, who, of course, died last week. And I gave short shrift to Bobby Sherman. I didn't mention it at all. And he was a somewhat interesting character, so we'll talk about him. But Barry in New Hampshire is bringing him up, so we'll see what he has to say. Barry, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, first of all, that's good about Darlene Love. She's going to be playing Saturday night in Lowell, and I know that she was part of the Crystals, and she's always on The View at Christmas time to sing a Christmas song. But I don't know what other stuff she was involved in.
Well, when you say she was in the Crystals, no. She, for years, was probably the most unknown major singer out there. She was not in the Crystals, but her voice was. Phil Spector used her. She sang lead on He's a Rebel and He's Sure the Boy I Love. It was credited to the Crystals, but it was her. You know, for years, nobody really knew who she was. Now, my favorite period of her, she was in a little group, The Blossoms, and I thought they just had some great little pop hits, and I could play some of that for you. But so, but what happened was, because she was so good as a background singer and all that, she made a living doing it. I mean, she backed everybody from Sam Cooke and Dionne Warwick to Sonny and Cher, you know. And she did stuff on Broadway quite a bit as well. And it really was years before anybody started to know who this was. And to an extent, when David Letterman would have her on to sing Baby Please Come Home, you know, the Christmas song, he started doing that in the 80s. And so she probably started to become well-known about then. And so Rolling Stones thinks she's one of the 100 greatest singers, and I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm glad she got her due, because for so many years, she did so much. And, you know, when you're a background singer, you're paid for the session, but you don't get any royalties. You don't get any money from the hit. And so she was, you know, basically, I won't say down and out, but certainly a working class background singer for years. And her name was Darlene Wright. Her dad was a minister. She had a sister, Edna Wright. And you might know that name because that was the lead singer of the Honeycomb. And she was an L.A. girl. And, of course, like many people, started singing in church choir and Hawthorne and stuff like that. And while she was in high school, and this is usually the case, too, 1957, she was in The Blossoms. Like I say, I loved that stuff. And she also, for a while, was in the Echoes. But Phil Spector hired The Blossoms to sing background. And the Crystals couldn't make it to Los Angeles in time for the session. So they gave Darlene, who was still Darlene Wright at the time, $5,000 to sing lead on He's a Rebel. And that's what she got. And that was the first Spector recording, and it was credited to the Crystals, but that was the deal. And why they were in a rush, why they wouldn't wait for the Crystals, is that Gene Pitney had recorded it, and it was expected that, and you know, he had every right to record it, he wrote it, it was expected that his single was going to be on the market. And Vicky Carr was expected. In fact, that one was imminent, that Vicky Carr recording. And the Crystals were very surprised when it came out, because they didn't know that they weren't going to be on it. They just couldn't get to Los Angeles. I don't remember if it was, you know, snow or what the deal was. But when they knew that that Liberty was going to put out that Vicky Carr record, they said, we're going to jump on that, hence Darlene Love. And when Darlene Love sang He's Sure the Boy I Love, I don't know what Spector said to her, but she believed that would be released under her name. And of course, when it came out, it was released to the Crystals. And Barry Mann and Cynthia Well wrote it, and they did not know that it was Darlene Love. And, you know, Spector also had her sing on To Do Ron Ron, but then at the last minute he replaced her with someone else, with obviously the Ronettes. But so that was sort of the deal. And like I say, for years, you know, she was the most unknown known singer, if you know what I mean. But she did some of the Ronettes backing and all the Phil Spector stuff, like Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans, you know, things like that. And that was the deal. But like I say, by the early 80s, there were people. I mentioned Letterman, but Stevie Van Zandt was another one that really sang her praises and things like that. And then she sang in a couple movies. The Idolmaker was one of them, I know. But what was she doing full-time? The same thing Barbara Lewis was. In this case, Love was working as a maid in Beverly Hills. Barbara Lewis was doing it in Orlando. And one day, while she was cleaning one of the houses, she heard Christmas Baby, Please Come Home on the radio. So, and it was her. And she said, maybe this is a sign that I need to go back to singing. And that was the deal. And, you know, she did a lot of Broadway stuff like Leader of the Pack, you know, and all that. And, you know, so that was the deal. So, yes, it was good that we finally got to, you know, got to know who, and I mean, many of us did, but the public got to know who she was.
Yeah, show. So it should be a good show Saturday night then.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Especially in my heart, especially if she does some of the Blossoms things, but I'm sure she won't. But yeah, she did. Well, she did some acting stuff as far as that, which is nice. You know, I'm not a movie person, but she was in the Lethal Weapon movies and things like that. So so there'll be no pity party for her. Finally, she got the reception she should have had all along.
Rightfully so.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
And the thing about Bobby Sherman, it was brought up in his obituary or write-up or someone in a column about him and Sal Mineo.
Oh, that's actually how he got started more than anything else. Sal Mineo, this was like 1962, so Bobby would have been like 1 year out of high school. And he wrote a couple songs and arranged for Bobby to record them. Now, the songs didn't go anywhere, but Mineo had asked him to sing with a band at some Hollywood party where there were some very notables in attendance. And he got an agent, and then he landed a part on Shindig as a house singer and a member of the cast. And, you know, he was on like Decca and some other labels, but did nothing, absolutely nothing. But, you know, he was a pretty boy. And so in 68, he got the role on Here Come the Brides, you know, and I think at the time ABC said he got more fan mail than anybody else on the network. Well, like I say, he was, you know, a pretty boy. And he appeared in other one-shots, like one of the Monkees episodes and all sorts of things like that, you know. And that was true for most of his career. He'd do a lot of one-shots. But, you know, it's hard to believe this guy released 107 songs. Okay, they weren't all singles, obviously. I think there were two dozen singles and 10 albums or whatever. And 7 of them were, you know, ostensibly top 40 hits. They got gold singles and all that kind of stuff. And he signed with Metro Media in 69, and that's what Little Woman was on. And that was that sold over a million copies. And then the other things that were big was like Julie, 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 Do You Love Me? And Easy Come, Easy Go, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, he had a real teen following and toured all over the place. And people went to, these were sellout shows. When I say people, these were kids, 13-year-old girls, sellout shows, to say the least. And so, you know, in addition to Here Comes the Bride, you know, and a Shindig I mentioned, but he would do these one-shots, like on the Partridge Family or, you know, that of course, American Bandstand, you'd expect. But the weirdest thing was that he was a guest star on Emergency, and that's what caused, you know, the Jack Webb show, that's what caused him to realize he had a calling. And so he left the entertainment industry and became a paramedic. And at first he was a volunteer in L.A., and then he became a reserve officer, and he was doing that. But I think he also became a reserve deputy sheriff with San Bernardino County, and he was doing CPR and also a training of new deputy hires and things like that. He was doing that till about 2010, so he got retirement out of that, because we're talking basically from 75 to 2010, so that's 35 years of this. For all I know, he got retirement from both San Bernardino and LA. But anyhow, that was the deal. But like a lot of people, he came back after about 25 years in 98. When they were packaging those tours, like, you know, Peter Noon from Hermits and Davy Jones from the Monkees, mm-hmm. Well, he would be on those. He would be part of that package. And that, you know, by the late 90s, that stuff were, you know, those were selling very well. You made some money with that. And I think his last concert was probably like 2001 or so. But he still did, you know, corporate stuff and all that kind of stuff. But if you were to write on his tombstone what he was known for, it wouldn't be those records. It would be that, you know, he was really a teen idol. He was a very pretty boy. So that was the deal. Now, unbeknownst to him, he was sick, and by the time it was diagnosed in March, he had stage 4 kidney cancer. So died on Tuesday, 81 years old, in Los Angeles. And he was born in Santa Monica, so he was an L.A. boy all the way around.
Wow.
That's the deal.
I remember my sister even had a Christmas album by him.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, they're going to, they capitalized on it any way they could. And that in no way is to, you know, cast him in a poor light. I don't think that at all. It's just that if he didn't have those looks, would he have been in demand? Yeah, some of the records might have hit. I don't know. But I don't think he would have had the kind of teen fan clubs he did.
Yeah, they were kind of hinting that he and Sal Mineo were an item.
I wouldn't know. I mean, I would. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about Sal Mineo, but about Bobby Sherman, I don't know. He's married twice.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I didn't know any of the wives or anything, but, I mean, he did have a couple of marriages, and I think there were kids, at least from the first one. You know, he was a Valley boy. He grew up in Van Nuys, and and married, I don't know when he married Patty, but he wasn't very old. And then, you know, they had a couple of kids, and then he got married again more recently.
Yep.
So I don't know. I have no idea what his social life was really about. Yep. Never did want to. But I'm sure, again, given given that level of notoriety for being good looking, he probably could have had whatever he wanted.
Well, thanks to... So I guess maybe I'll check out the show
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I think you'd like Darlene Love. I can't imagine she'd do a bad show, and especially with all that Broadway stuff and all that. Like I say, I'd be disappointed because I doubt she'll do anything by the Blossoms, but, you know, that'll cause me to play something by the Blossoms next.
Okay,
all
perfect.
Right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Is there a reason why last night's show's not on downloads?
It's not?
Oh. I
wait a minute. I might not have. It probably is, and I just never, let me do that now. I never probably uploaded the links to it, but I'm sure it's there, unless you tried to get it and you don't see it. But let me.
I don't see it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then. Right, yeah. Well,
I haven't seen it all day.
Yeah. Well, you know the secret. I mean, you know how to find those shows, I think. But let me see what I got here. Yeah, I didn't put it up there. I will right now as we're speaking. But yeah, anytime anybody wants to see if I've got a show up there, if I didn't give it a link, Raleigh with a capital R and then the date 062625.mp3. And that will that should give you all you need to know. So now, but I swear I put that thing up. All right, so let me look. And it'd be 0625. Wait a minute. All right, I didn't. Well, we're going to do this as we speak. All right, put it there, and put it here. I think it's probably on the stream. I believe I did that. Maybe I didn't do that either.
Is it on the stream? But like the highlight of last night's show, the
All right. Well,
Cliff Notes.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know
either. I was doing something else, but it is. It will be in 5 seconds. It will be up there, and it's on its way as we speak. On the dirt road known as the Information Superhighway. It's up there. Okay, so now, but what I need to do now though is go and see whether or not I put the downloading page up so that you would be able to find the link, and that would probably be easier if I did that. So let me do that, and we'll give you that too. And then if you don't get it, you can complain. But let's see what we have here. I guess now that I think about it, I know I didn't do this. I was doing something else and then thought, well, I'll get to it. Yeah, right. And that was the end of it. All right, that should put it up there. And let me also go ahead and put up the that means I didn't put up the notes from last night either, any of the songs. All right, we can do that too. Let's see. All right, find that server. All right, they're on different servers. All right, so this is... Now should be there. I'll check it. And I'm so sorry. So, that's the reason. The reason is because I'm a dullard. Okay, that's there. Let me check the downloads. Oh, I see a real problem, but you won't know it. It's there, all right. Enjoy it.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. So, bye-bye. Yeah, I apologize for that. I thought that was up there. So we will definitely hear something by the Blossoms next. I'm playing your requests, too. I've got several of them. But since we talked about Darlene Love, got to play the Blossoms. And that's coming up in moments here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yep, Darlene Love, the Blossoms. Actually, they came out in 1965 on Reprise, and it was a star-studded record. Van McCoy wrote it. Jimmy Bowen produced it. Ernie Freeman arranged it. How could it miss? I don't know. It did. And the other side was Good Good Lovin', which was also a great record, too. And that's not all she did with the Blossoms. But that's all we'll talk about right now. We'll move directly over to Bob in Iroquois County, who's been waiting. Thank you for waiting, and welcome to WGN Radio. Well,
hello.
There you are. Yes, Bob, what's up?
Nope, it's Paul.
It's Paul. Well, John just decided you were Bob. Are you from Iroquois County?
Iroquois County.
Okay. All right. Well, we got the right caller then. All right, Paul, what is on your mind?
Well, I watch a lot of old movies, and occasionally I see a radio on their countertop, and it's as big as a bread box. And maybe a little bigger than the bread box. What's my chance of finding something today that's big like that?
Well, they're all over the place. eBay, I guarantee you, whatever it is you want that way. You know, if you want, when you say bread box, the first thing I think is all those Bakelite radios of the 50s. But, I mean, you can go back and get, you know, wooden chassis. I mean, you can get whatever you want. That stuff is available, and it's not that pricey. How well it's going to work, well, that varies.
And there'll probably be tube radios, right?
Oh, well, you hope so. Yes. Yeah.
If it's before anybody.
Well, let's put it this way. If it's
before ones these days.
If it's before 1955 and there's a transistor in it, you better call Bell Labs because they don't know about it. So anything before 55 is obviously not going to have transistors. But
okay,
yeah,
so
you know,
I imagine tubes are probably pretty expensive.
No, not necessarily. You'd be surprised. No? It is surprising what you can get in terms of that. Yeah, and many of us much prefer those pear-shaped, warm tones of tubes. And the EL34. Anyway, but I digress. But if you want that, I'd say eBay's one place to start. But even if you do a general web search, there's a lot of collectors, and there's a lot of people who do that. So let's see about tabletop old radios. I'm on eBay now, and we'll see what they give us. Never searched, but I guarantee you they'll have them. All right. So, here's a vintage Westinghouse tube radio, wooden rare tabletop. Turns on, $89. Here's an old antique wood TruStone D726, and that's up for auction. And the problem with that, of course, is when it's up for auction, you know, right now there are no bids yet. It starts at $25, but it doesn't necessarily end up there. But a lot of them are buy it now. And, I mean, if you wanted something nice and were willing to shell out a few $100, you could absolutely find it.
Oh, okay, so I'll check eBay.
Yeah, do that. And, you know, some of it you'll look at it and you'll drool over, but you're saying, I'm not spending $680. You know, it's up to you.
Exactly, right.
So, and be patient, because this stuff comes up all the time. So especially if you kind of know what you're looking for, be patient, because it'll come up.
Okay. John Landecker, it's been about a year ago, I think, he had on a radio personality who they chewed the rag about radio years ago. And she had written a book called She Said What by Truly Ryder.
Oh, okay. No, it's Turi Ryder, T-U-R-I, Turi Ryder.
Turi.
Turi, T-U-R-I. She was on WGN for a while about a decade ago. She was doing evenings. I don't know what
wondering if you were familiar with that.
Well, I haven't read it. I probably should, I probably should. So usually I'm a sucker for that. So I will buy Turi's book while we're speaking. And no, I don't want it as Kindle. All right, I'll take it as a paperback. And I'll let you know what I think.
And talking about old radios in the 40s.
Yeah.
What was reception like back in the 40s?
Well, a lot better. Firstly, you didn't. You're talking all medium wave, all AM for the most part. You're really not going to get anything else. And you didn't have the interference that you do now. And also, most of these stations kept up their ground systems. With AM radio, the deal is, what you see going up in the air as far as that tower, that's only half the signal. Coming from the tower in the ground are copper radials, and that's the other half of the signal. But far too many owners did not keep up their radials, or worse than that, sold it for condo development. I mean, I've heard every story in the world. But so when you've got a good plant, you know, the radials are in good shape and you know, the equipment's fairly good. The beauty is you didn't have the RF interference you do now. I mean, there are things about medium wave that are always, you know, I mean, it's a good enough thunderstorm, you're going to hear it, things like that. You know, you go under an underpass in a tunnel, you're not going to hear it, all that. Yeah. But given that, it absolutely was much, much better than it is now. I don't think the ionosphere, the layer has changed one iota, but everything we have terrestrially has.
Right. I have listened to a lot of Elvis Presley stuff that they put out after his death, where they played like 6, 7, 8 takes that he did until he got the one that he liked. And I imagine that's pretty common with most singers.
Well, the singer doesn't pick it. The producer does.
The producer, right.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of studio chatter.
Mm-hmm.
And is that stuff out with other singers?
On some of them you can absolutely get that. But what happened, of course, initially when they started to re-release everything, excuse me, for CDs and stuff, first they did the hits and then they went deeper and all that. And so with the big names, they went deeper and deeper and they started to release session tracks. So sure, you can find that. The saddest thing that happened, as far as I'm concerned, and this is the one that just gets me every time, is that when these things were recorded, if there was any multi-tracking involved, the reason there was multi-tracking wasn't because they were going to release this 45 in stereo or anything like that. It was going to be mixed down the way the producer heard it. And there were, like, it didn't get better than Snuff Garrett, you know. And all that Motown stuff where the vocals were buried into the music and made it just so appealing. What happened when they went to CD is they got engineers who never had heard this stuff or were at least didn't love it and embrace it. And they quote-unquote cleaned it up. They changed the mixes. And that, to me, is a disaster. I always say Motown gave their stuff a soulectomy when it came out on CD. I did not want to hear it. But so a lot of times when they'll say in stereo, it might not have ever been released in stereo originally when it was on a 45. But if there were other reference tracks, some recording engineer certainly could mix it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it. I want the original 45 mix coming out of the Delco AM radio.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
Yes.
You were talking about Bobby Sherman and Sal Mineo connection. Sal Mineo sang a couple songs.
Of course.
That he put out. I wonder if you have something on Sal Mineo.
Do you really want to hear it?
Well, I vaguely remember hearing it years ago, and you know, he sounded okay, like Bobby Sherman. He wasn't a Gene Pitney or anything like that.
Yeah, I've got things like Little Pigeon and Lasting Love and Party Time and You Shouldn't Do That and Start Moving in My Direction. Yeah, I've got those. So, Love Affair, yeah.
Right.
I'm sure those
right.
Those 45s I have. All right.
If you
so,
can stomach that.
Well, all right, let me write it down. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but I will definitely write this down, and I will do that. You will hear a Sal Mineo, whether you want to or not. All right, good deal. Thanks, Bob.
Alrighty.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Lisa in Dundee. In fact, I moved her request. She wanted to hear the Brooklyn Bridges version of Piece of My Heart. Well, why not? In order to play the Blossoms for myself. So we'll definitely get Lisa's request on next, and we'll also get her on the air. And we'll talk to Jim and to Cindy. But we got Marcus in Morrisville. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, Raleigh, what's new?
You tell me.
All right. Well, I got my eye on this radio station. my ear, I should say, 1700 WRCR.
Oh, Rockland County.
And
Cat bought it, Red Apple, they bought it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's on my mind. I love it because there's no delay, as opposed to their main signal of the simulcast on ABC. There's no delay on 1700.
Well, because they're not doing live talk, I don't think, are they?
Yes.
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah.
That's a fool's message then. All right. Well, very good. We'll see how long that lasts. Has the I know that they applied for the transfer of ownership in May, but I didn't see whether that had gone through yet. Now, it may be an LMA, but I didn't know whether the license was granted yet.
Well, it could be LMA. I don't know, but they sure are.
All right.
So, I wouldn't call it a simulcast. I mean, there's a 30-second difference, so I don't know if you can call that a simulcast.
Well,
or
no, it doesn't matter. Is it the same programming?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure why he did it. That's a little, like I say, it's a Rockland County station, and it's on the EB, like you say, 1700. It's got about 10,000 watts in the day and 1,000 watts at night, and they're non-directional. But that is the deal. And so. All right, so I don't know why he bought it, but I guess I could look that up, but I guess good for him.
And the interesting thing to me, which brings up a whole other question, is I guess the expansion of the AM dial back in the day did not work for what they intended it for. It was,
well, what do you think it was intended for?
I thought it was intended for to give those stations crowding from 1,200 to 1,500 more breathing room, that they would put them up there.
No. All right, here was the deal. At one of the conferences, actually in Rio de Janeiro, the discussion was whether America should follow most of the world and have 9 kilohertz spacing. And you know, most of the world does. And so here at 10 kilohertz spacing, you know, it's 540, 50, 60, 70. Well, in most of the world, it's 540, 549, 558, 567, and so on. And so there was talk about this, and ultimately they decided that they were not going to go to 9 kilohertz spacing, but they would expand the band.
Oh, well, another thing, I think Paul should build his own radio with that good old toilet paper roll. And
yeah, why not? Yeah.
Coat hanger and the lead pencil and the razor blade, huh?
Well, either that, or if he wants to go a little high tech, he can build a Heath kit.
I mean, sounds like he'd enjoy that more than, you know.
Oh, no, but, you know, those wonderful old tabletop radios with the beautiful tubes, there's something romantic about it. The problem when you buy them is most of them are not, quote-unquote, refurbished, meaning, you know, the most they can tell you is, well, it turns on, so you might have a work project right there restoring it.
Yeah. Yep. But, I just found this very fascinating because The whole Janet Jackson thing, you know, I figured the stations were not allowed to keep the programming on undelayed.
Oh, no, no. You know, the FCC is between a rock and a hard place with regard to the U.S. Constitution. And, of course, this puts every owner in jeopardy, because here's the deal. The FCC is not allowed, as far as an organization, to censor. So what they do is they tell you after the fact. And so obviously they have pretty stringent guidelines for what's okay and what's not okay, but you're not going to know if you violate it until you do it.
Right.
So as far as that, but no, I don't know why he's not running a delay as far as that goes. And I'm not sure he's not, because if you're comparing it to WABC, for instance.
Yes.
All right. Well, and you're saying this is coming out a few seconds later?
ABC is 30 seconds behind.
Okay, behind. All right.
Yes.
All right. But that doesn't mean that it's not on a delay. It's just not on the same delay. So I don't know. I don't know the audio path, and I'd need to know that to tell you for certain. But I wouldn't say that, oh, yeah, because ABC is lagging, they're delaying and this isn't. They both may be delayed. It's hard,
right.
To, you know, I'd have to see the audio path on that. I'll see if anybody has written about that. They might have. I don't know.
Yeah, because I found it fascinating. I mean, ABC is supposed to be the flagship, and this is supposed to be a, you know, a secondary, but apparently...
it just sounds like an audio chain of convenience. But again, I'd have to see it. I will hear it at least to know. But let's I'll see if any of the engineers wrote about the audio chain. But I wouldn't come to the conclusion that one was not delayed. All you can say is one is delayed more than the other one.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All right. I guess you could. Okay. I guess you could. By the way, I guess you could be a caller, call in, and time when it hits on RCR if you're close enough to hear it.
At night only, you know.
Well, they only have 1,000 watts at night, so if you can hear them at night, wow. Okay. But yeah, if you could get on there, I guess you could time it yourself and do that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep.
I'll never forget it. My friend Jim Hawthorne, who sadly is now long gone, he would be quite old now, well over 100 years. But I was listening to him once, and a listener called who really didn't grok the idea of a delay. And Jim, with a totally straight face, explained that it depended how far they lived from the transmitter because it took the signal a while to get there. And the listener bought it, but it was hilarious. Jim had this whole technical explanation for this, no doubt. And yeah, he was terrific. All right, so we'll get to Lisa in Dundee and Jim in Richmond and Cindy in Chicago, and there will be room for you because this is a 3-hour show, and you've got 2.5 hours, well, about 2 hours and a few minutes left on WGN Radio.
Everything that a man possibly can. Honey, you know I did. But each time I tell myself, well, I think I had enough. Oh, but I'm gonna show you, baby, that a man can be tough. Won't you just come on, come on, come on, come on and take another little piece of my heart now, baby. You never hear me when I cry.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Brooklyn Bridge from the Brooklyn Bridge album of the same name on Buddha, 1968. It was a cut on that. And I think him right after Worst That Could Happen, actually, is the way they put that together. But in any event, Peace of My Heart was an interesting record. Burt Burns and Jerry Ragavoy wrote it. And it was originally recorded by Irma Franklin. Now, what's interesting about that, and that was 1967, is that when it came time for the Grammys and the best 11th annual Grammys, Best Female R&B Vocal Performance, both Irma Thomas and Irma Franklin and Aretha Franklin were up for that, and Aretha won. There were others as well, but nonetheless. And you're saying, well, what song was it by Aretha? Well, Chain of Fools. So we've got Lisa in Dundee. We'll find out exactly why she wanted to hear that. All right, Lisa, welcome to WGN Radio. So why the Brooklyn Bridge version?
Thanks. I just love the Brooklyn Bridge. I have that album.
Ah.
And I love The Worst That Could Happen. And then,
yeah. You
know, I just love that song, and I knew they sang it. And
yeah.
I think that guy, the lead singer, has such a great voice.
Absolutely.
Kind of surprised they didn't do any more, but...
Well, they were surprised. A lot of people were surprised they did that. You know the story of how they became the Brooklyn Bridge, so... what can I say? But, I'd say your husband, my wife, and Welcome Me Love, they sort of charted undercharted, as you will. But, yeah, Johnny Maestro was terrific. And, of course, he was with the Crests previously, and that was my favorite period for him. But
and I know a lot of people probably haven't heard that version. The Brooklyn Bridge.
They have now, thanks to you.
Yeah, that's great. And I just wanted to put my 2 cents in about Bobby Sherman. He was one of my favorites when I was like 11 years
old. That's what
I
was going to ask you. That's exactly what I mean. That preteen female. Hang on. Don't go away. Stay right where you
okay.
are. And we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I fell in love with you, and step by step, it wasn't hard to do, kiss by kiss and hand in hand, that's the way it all began, soon we found the perfect plan for love, side by side, we took a lover's walk, and word by word, we had a lover's talk, one word led to another, and then, in no time we were up to my heart knew it was gonna end in love.
First step,
a sweet hello.
Second step,
my heart's aglow.
Third step,
we had a date.
Fourth step,
stayed out late.
Fifth step,
I walked you home.
Sixth step,
we're all alone.
Seventh
step, we took a chance. One kiss and true romance. Step by step, we climbed to heaven's door, and step by step, each thrill invited more than you promised faithfully.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there he is, Johnny Maestro. Yes, man, he was riding high in 1960 on Co-Ed when the Crest put out Step by Step. J.T. Carter had found that group in the mid-50s, and Luther Vandross's sister was in it, Patty Vandross. And, oh, man, I laugh because when they were on Joyce and not really doing much, it was all right. But when they got to Co-Ed, there were going to be tours. And Patty's mom, well, Patty and Luther's mom both, said, "You will not go on tour with those older guys." And so that was the end of Patty and the Crests. And JT was the one who came up with Johnny to be the lead singer. So talk about a mixed group. There were African-Americans, there were Puerto Ricans, there were Italian-Americans, there were males, there were females. They were one of the earliest truly mixed groups. And for a few years there on Co-Ed, some great stuff. So Lisa in Dundee, we're back to you.
Oh, good. Thank you. So, getting back to Bobby Sherman.
Yes, yes.
A lot of my allowance went to, you know, Tiger Beat and
mm-hmm. Flip.
Dave and all right. those magazines.
Right, absolutely. Flip and 16. Oh. Yeah.
Especially if he was on the cover. I mean, he was
right.
almost in every issue
right.
to begin with.
Yes.
But, and you're right, he was so handsome. I mean, compared to some of the others...
Right.
<At that
time. laughs> Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I won't mention any names.
Mick Jagger comes to mind, but yes. I know.
Oh my God. I don't understand how women think that guy. Reminds me of that Steven Tyler.
Oh geez.
Oh my God.
Well, it's more than just looks. But
no,
in
I know.
In any way, for Bobby, yeah, he was destined to be a teen king. I mean, like you say, you were 11, and I'm sure there's a poster in the bedroom.
So. Oh my gosh, yes. And then this is funny, when I was 40, my brother surprised me with a ticket to see him.
Oh, that's great.
During one of those concerts, and it was with Peter Noon and Davy Jones.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah, they
was
packaged
in
that.
Heaven.
And that was
the whole
audience
is full of people that were 40 and
right.
you know
right.
or around there, you know.
Sure.
Oh,
and, you know,
so
it was he was in heaven, too, because that show was the first package tour that he did after he'd been a paramedic for over 20 years.
Yes. Yeah. And he still sounded great. And he had his black leather pants on. And, you know, it was just, it was so good. But, yeah, I'm glad to hear that there's some, you know, he was no Brian Wilson or anything like that. But, you know.
Well,
he was a good guy, though, and he did a lot of good for, you know, I mean, I was glad to see him go into a profession that was meaningful.
Yeah, and the acting really was probably more well known than the recordings. I mean, not if you were an 11-year-old girl, but for everybody else.
No.
He did more guest shots, I think, than anybody in American
yes.
television.
And, I've seen everyone that you mentioned. I've seen the one on Emergency and...
Yeah.
And in fact, he had his own show.
Oh, yeah. That it was like a special. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was always on those teen dance shows like Shindig and all that. And he was the perfect player for that, because again, he looked the part.
He did.
And that's exactly what they needed. And it worked.
And
the records were not terribly produced. It wasn't his creative genius that had anything to do with any of it, but it didn't matter.
No, right. No.
I mean, the same could be said about most of them, you know. I mean, how many records did Frankie Avalon actually produce that he had hits with? I think that would be none.
Yeah, he didn't write anything, I don't think.
Not that I know of. And the other thing was, he was smart in that he listened to the direction. One of the big problems that a lot of these guys had was, after a hit or two, they suddenly thought that, not that they knew it all, but that, you know, they were the ones in charge. And of course, that's what downed the Monkees, because the Monkees were, of course, hired out of Hollywood, you know, Reporter magazine, little newspaper. Was a want ad for, they were looking for actors. And, you know, after they had a few hits, suddenly they, especially Nesmith, I can produce this stuff. Well, actually, no, you can't. One that broke my heart was Keith. I loved Keith. I thought Ain't Gonna Lie was just a terrific little record, and 98.6 was pretty good. And that first album, he had all sorts of things, but then he kind of thought that he had a lot to contribute. No, just sing what they put in front of you.
That's right.
Yeah, but no, that's
have a single of Bobby Sherman's. It's called The Drum, the song.
Yeah, okay.
It's warped, and I could never really play it, but I've always kept it because it's got a picture sleeve, you know?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Oh, so
yes,
funny.
Yes. I know, by the way, I know that picture sleeve because I was, you know, I'm packing records to move from one studio to another, and I have more picture sleeves than I ever wanted, and I remember that because it had like a purple and a pink color behind him. And
absolutely.
Right. And
yeah.
He's so that's purple and pink. And then he's like in this aqua shirt with a black leather vest. And I'm thinking, who dressed this guy? So, the whole thing. The drum.
It got my money, though.
Well, I guess. And the other side was Free to Roam. Metro Media. I had a friend who was running Metro Media at the time. I don't know that I've ever actually played that record, but I certainly do own it. So maybe I...
I was just going to say, if you can play Sal Mineo, I think you could probably play a Bobby Sherman.
Yeah, well, I don't see why not. But
and I'll let you pick it.
Oh, they're all
because
the same.
If I pick it, it's going to be one of the hits that everybody
they're all
will cringe at.
They're all the same to me.
Do sound a lot alike.
But yeah, Metro Media was Len Levy's little company, and it was not a bad deal actually. So, and Bobby did right by him. He made a lot of money off of Bobby.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
All right.
Did.
Good deal.
Okay,
well thanks
thank
for
you,
calling.
Molly.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
So yeah, and they had good distribution internationally too, but Len Levy had previously worked at Epic, so he had all the contacts for that. But there was a number of interesting things on Metro Media. But yes, absolutely, Bobby Sherman, you betcha. And I don't know, maybe we have to play Seattle. Could that happen? All right, maybe. I don't know. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And let's see what we have. We got an update from Jim in Richmond. All right, so Jim, how's your sister?
She's doing okay, but I wanted to tell you that the last couple of callers, I had so much static on the phone that I could barely hear what they were saying. So I just wanted to let you know.
I don't know why. We didn't hear it here, thankfully.
Right, and now I'm hearing a little bit when I'm talking to you. And before I talk to anybody, I need to talk to you. I gave my brother my pocket radio. Can you please tell me which radio I should get, because I am tired of the stream.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, there no one can answer that for you. It's such a personal choice in terms of what you like. I like all those radios, so I think what you need to do is find a way. I know that you won't be able to see it, but find a way somehow to see what's in that catalog and pick the one that really resonates with you.
Right, but you've been talking about this number two.
Oh, the EP. That may be something you want to do, but it may not.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't think you care that much about the air traffic controllers or probably about single sideband or maybe even about shortwave. So these are features that wouldn't mean anything to you.
With the pocket radio, I had to put it in the kitchen and turn it at a certain angle, and I'd get a perfect reception. And then when I put it in the living room, same thing. I had to turn it to get a perfect reception.
That's less to do with the radio than it is where you are.
Right. So I was hoping that this number two you've been talking about.
It's not going to, you know, and it's great. And like the emergency radios are great in terms of that CC solar. What I like about that is that it works no matter what. You know, you have AM, you have FM, the weather band and all that, but it'll work on battery. It'll work on solar power if you leave it in the sun for several hours. But if all else fails, you hand crank it for about 30 seconds, it'll play. So the neatest thing about that is it will work no matter what. But in terms of reception, I guess the CC Radio 2E is probably reception-wise the best of the bunch. But that pocket radio is a great little radio, and it's not expensive. So
Like I said, I gave it to my brother.
Yeah, I'd get another one probably.
Not that I'm not going to get that same one.
Okay, all right. Well, I think what you're talking about is really all you care about is AM and FM, and you want it to sound good. So then
AM because
but they don't make any that's just AM only. It doesn't work like that. I wish it did, but those days are gone.
Right.
All right.
Because of the fact that I listen to, I turn on the stream to listen to. My brain is really messed up tonight, but I listen during, you know, the 10 o'clock hour, and then I listen to the 2 o'clock hour, and then I listen to you.
Okay.
So I want, and then what's happening lately is they have an important guest on, and then a commercial kicks in.
Oh, you mean on the streams, on the streams.
Right.
Well, I think the 2E is a great radio. It's one I keep by my bedside. But again, this was a $200 radio, you know. So that's the way that is. Now sometimes they have orphans. Where in fact, let me go to their website and see if they have any orphans on that. You know, people who return them, but they're still in good condition. Okay, here's an orphan. But it only saves you $20, so it's $179. So it depends if you're willing to shell that out. Now, if you're saying I just can't break the bank, then the CC EP Pro is a $99, $100 basically radio.
I'll get that one.
Well, but let me tell you, it's not a digital readout. It's a slide rule dial. You're going to have to hand, you know, like the old radios you used to have.
Right, and that might be better for me because I can't see the numbers.
Right, and this radio has really evolved. When it first came out, I wasn't that much of a fan because the tuning on it was not what I wanted. But they've made a lot of changes in this, and now while I'm sitting there packing all these things, and by the way, there's no air conditioning in that house right now, so while I'm packing in 105 degrees and sweating, and all this, I am sitting there listening to an EP Pro. So you know, I've got several of them, and they're affordable and all that, but it does have the twin coil ferrite, which is what makes the AM reception good. So, for the money, it's the best thing out there. Now, again, if you're saying, I don't care about money, I'd say get the 2E. If you're saying I do care about money, I'd get the EP Pro.
Right. And then I like the fact that I called them a while ago and asked them some questions, and they have all my information. So all I have to say is, this is what I want, and send it out.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And the nice thing about it is, if you get it, and in your situation, it's just not working for you, you send it back.
Right.
You know, you're not in a situation where you're going to lose if you don't like it. Again, I feel that the 2E definitely would give you what you want, but it's a price point that's high. So I would give the EP Pro a chance and see what you think of it.
Yes. And I might even call them tonight.
Yeah. And you know, and tell them we talked about it and see what their input is.
Right. And number two.
Yeah.
I talked to my brother today. We had a long conversation about my sister.
Yes.
And there was good things and bad things. But I told them about the three
The 15 hours, the three hours, 5 days a week, right, yes.
He said that he's been round and round with them, and they said, no, only 1 hour.
I'm not sure that Advantage is allowed to do that. I'll have to look that up. But, you see, the fly in your sister's ointment is she's on an Advantage plan. So the rules that are absolute for Medicare don't necessarily apply. But for regular Medicare recipients, it is 3 hours, 5 days, 15 hours a week.
Right. And I told him that, and he said, well, I've got to make some more phone calls, you know. And he's frustrated because she's not willing to do things and stuff, and that's her situation.
Well,
you know, and,
you know, of course she's not. It's very tough for her also. I'm looking, let's see, I'm looking, by the way, while we're speaking about the implementation for this. All right. Yeah, it's not an absolute requirement. So they're required to provide at least the same level of coverage, they say, but they can impose their own rules regarding things. All right. They simply can't deny the coverage because the three-hour threshold isn't met, but they might have their own policies about what they're doing.
Right.
So it's not necessarily, but it says Medicare Advantage plans cannot strictly limit rehab to 1 hour a day based on a rigid three-hour rule, as this threshold is not the sole determinant of coverage. However, they do have the ability to review the medical necessity of services. All right, so...
And I don't know what her Advantage plan is.
Right.
You know, mine is Humana, but I don't know what hers is.
Well, they're supposed to follow the same guidelines, just like I just read. But so, normally the guideline, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, the three-hour rule. So, I guess you're brother, is there a social worker in this situation, a patient advocate, somebody who can help you or help your brother? Because
I don't know.
That's what I suggest you tell them. Look for the patient advocate or the social worker, whatever it's called in this facility. There will be one. And then find out from them, because they should be up on the coverage that way. And I don't think they can violate it, but I do know that Advantage can do certain things. So you'll have to find out. I think the only time they bend that is when the patient can't do it. In other words, somebody who is in rehab and isn't able to do 3 hours, they let you do less.
Right.
I'm not sure that Advantage could cut that back. So haven't checked that.
Right. And right now, your conversation with me is totally full of static.
Nothing
and
here.
And I don't know if that's the stream WGN or not.
It has nothing to do with WGN. My signal doesn't go through WGN that way.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're calling me directly, though. It has nothing to do with WGN. I don't know if it's your phone. See, the reason I can't help you with that is you're crystal clear at my end. I hear you without any artifacts whatsoever. So I would assume as you're... And are you using a cell phone?
Pardon me?
Are you using a cell phone?
That's all I have.
Well, all right. So you remember, these phones, they're not full duplex. And very often when you call, it depends where you are. And I'm not going to explain that, but trust me, I don't mean physically. I mean where you are that way. All right. And John says, shut up. I got to shut up. It's time for me to shut up. All right. So they're watching me a little more closely about news. So I'll talk to you later.
Can I talk to you about me?
Well, if you hold on. All right, because we can't talk on WGN Radio.
The Rock Island Line is a mighty good line. The Rock Island Line is road. Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. If you ride, you got to ride away from.
States for the rock on the line. Well, maybe right or maybe wrong, she's gonna miss me when I'm gone. Engineer said before he died that two more drinks I'd like to try. The doctor said, well, could they be a hot cup of chocolate, cold glass of tea? Rock on the line is a mighty good road. Rock on the line is road. Rock on the line is a mighty good road. If you ride, you got fine. While you find it, get your ticket out the station for the rock on the line. Me when I'm gone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's a request. Yeah, obviously, I didn't think of it on my own. And let's see, who was it who requested that too? Rockland Rhine, the Little Richard version, which actually is Fishbone featuring Little Richard, don't you know? And I know it was here somewhere. And so that's terrible. Well, what can I tell you? I'll figure it out. But whoever it is, I hope you liked it. All right, now, Jim said, but I'm not done. All right, so Jim, tell me about you.
Hello.
Yes, tell me about you.
I just wanted to tell you that I had to call the doctor's office this morning to get my prescription filled for this ointment they put in my eye.
Yeah.
And it was funny because when I talked to the nurse, she said, oh, yeah, it's here in the computer, but nobody sent send.
Oh.
And then I had to wait a long time to find someone to drive me to get the prescription for the ointment in my eye.
Of course.
And I got it done.
Good.
And I just couldn't understand, you know, what was going on with
them. Oh, sure you can. It's a human error. Somebody just forgot to hit send. It's as simple as that.
This is the same thing that happened when back in the beginning of June, mm-hmm. when he said, you're going to need surgery, and then I had to call.
Yeah, I remember that.
The end of May.
Yes, I do. I remember that story.
Right, and I had to call them to find out what's going on, and then 4 days later they call me, oh, you're going to have it next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen. He's in the office tomorrow, so I'm going to call him tomorrow because I'm trying to, you know, save. But then I was stressed out all day yesterday and then most of today, and I made up my mind today, and that is if I lose the eye and I have to get a glass eye, and this is going to be funny for you, but I want, instead of a pupil, I want the skull and crossbones front on the front of the eye, and then when people look at me and I go, watch out, I'm dangerous.
Well, actually, you know, let's not even go there, that this is not even a possibility. But in the unfortunate event, if that were to come to it, as you probably know, because a lot of servicemen, for instance, who have, and women too probably, but men in particular, who have lost an eye, have done things like one fella had the Marines logo put on it and all that. So you can do most anything you want. But at this point, I don't want to give it any legs. I don't want to think that that's even a possibility.
Hey, Raleigh?
Yeah.
Raleigh, I can't hear anything
okay.
you're saying.
It's at your end, Jim.
Panicky.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. It's at your end, and we actually had calls from people near Jim who said, "Well, we've got weather right now and things like that, and I don't know exactly how that would affect a cell phone necessarily, but the bottom line is that it is Jim's issue. I'm sorry to say. All right, so 888-876-5593. Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, I have a couple of requests and a couple things to tell you. Mm. But then anyhow, the request is That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I saw the movie, but Chuck gave me the documentary of his life. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was a carpenter or a construction worker.
Buddy Holly was a kid. He was quite young when he hit. So no, it wasn't about what he was. He was a kid.
Well, I thought that's what he did, you know, like also.
Well, like I say, he didn't get old enough to do much of anything. certainly,
oh, okay.
Certainly he took other... Well, yeah, but you can't
that
believe was... you can't believe the stuff you see in those docudramas, can you?
I don't know. It was just like a doc. And then the other thing I noticed about in the movie, they weren't really groupies or anything like that. That's how they were portrayed in the movie.
Yeah, right. But there have always been groupies, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But remember, when he was first having records, he was a teenager. So, you know, and before that, he was like 19, 20 years old when he got married. I mean, no, he was, so it's not like he had a career before he was singing. He was singing from the time he was in junior high.
Okay, and then the other record is La Bamba.
Oh God, Ritchie Valens. Oh, God help me.
All well, right. You know the reason that song is very dear to my heart because when I was like 6 years old, after my first year of kindergarten, and the wind, you know, it was summer, and the doors were, you know, the windows were open, the front door was open. I lived on Montrose. And all the teenage or like the young people would drive by in those little convertible cars with La Bamba playing, like, you know, blasting.
All right, we'll play La Bamba as well. Now, so that'll be the day and La Bamba. It won't be tonight, but hopefully tomorrow night.
And then there was another song that was really nice that I heard. It's Lady Love or Lady Luck.
Those are two different songs. Lady Love is Lou Rawls and Lady Luck is Lloyd Price. Which one is it?
I don't know.
Well, then I can't help.
It's the one, I don't know too many of the words. It's not easy, something. What is it?
Just stop stressing yourself. Let me find them and I'll let you hear a little bit of both, and you can tell me. But let's see. I'm sure they're both on here. I'd be surprised if they're not. All right. So Lloyd Price, like I say, was Lady Luck, and this would be Lloyd Price doing Lady Luck. Is that it?
No, it's Lady Love.
Okay, then it's Lady Love, and Lady Love is Lou Rawls.
Yeah, Lou Rawls. Mm.
All right, so that...
And then...
That's one to make sure this is right, because I don't want to have to play this twice.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, yeah, I was afraid so. All right, we'll get it on eventually.
Okay, and then what happened today, I got my diamond ring today, and you're not, you know, I know, you know, you're not really into that, but that's my hobby. But it was under $200, and I got it at Walmart. It's a lab-created diamond, and it was only under $200 because I guess they had a size 5 left and couldn't sell it, and it's 14-karat gold. And then the same thing at Macy's is like $4,000 or $5,000. And then the thing is, I went out today in the terrible heat. I had to return something for Amazon at UPS, and I went to the Duval jeweler and had it tested. And it's a real diamond.
Okay,
2 carat.
Isn't that
two
lovely?
2 carat oval. Yeah, and then the other thing is I got my magazine from my alma mater, Concordia University, and my accounting teacher passed away. He must have been in his 90s. Mm. He went to Concordia in like the late 50s, and he had his doctorate degree from Northwestern in economics. So that was really, and then he would teach during the year business classes, and then he had a farm in Iowa that he would live on in the summer.
Uh-huh. All right.
But that's about it.
Very good. Well, good to talk to you always, Cindy. Okay. Thank you. All right, 888-876-5593. We got Eduardo in Tampa. We got Marguerite in Chicago. And Jim called back, a better connection. I thought we were done, but maybe not. We'll find out. All that and more coming up. And plenty of room for you. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
It may be way too early. For me to know how far we'll go, but when I look at you from any point of view, I see. Whoa, you're looking like love to me. Only met and yet it feels so right to see the fire between us come aglow. You made my body melt. I swear I never felt so free. Whoa. Like love to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Peebo Rising with Roberta Flack. And it was Rita in Harwood Heights said, play some by Roberta Flack. So did that. Hope she liked it. She also has a Teddy Pendergrass, and we'll do that as well. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Marguerite in Chicago, what's up tonight?
Hello, co-captain. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
Good, thank you. And hello to the other Raleigh James dancers.
Okay.
The feet got going when you played the Little Richard version of the Rock Island.
Yeah, Rock Island Line. Yeah.
My feet started moving. I thought it was Holy Ghost,
yeah.
Pentecostal church music.
Ah.
I said, Raleigh's put, and then when I start listening to the lyrics, okay, Rock Island Line, which I used to sing as a kid, and then the TV show Zoom, the kids used to sing that song.
All right, good.
Yeah, it was Morgan Freeman. What was her name? Rita. What was her name? Oh, the Hispanic woman.
Was it Rita Moreno?
Yes, Rita Moreno. Thank you. Okay. And others were some of the hosts of that show.
Uh-huh.
And the kids would sing the Rock Island Line, which I knew it before then,
of
but
course.
I'd never heard the Little Richard version until tonight.
Yeah, that was the 80s. And, the big hit, of course, was Lonnie Donegan as far as American rock and roll. Little Richard did it in the 80s. So there you go.
Well, thank you for who requested that, and you're playing it, and it's always the music that draws me in because I call myself just going to listen, but sometimes I just have to pick up and call and say thank you for that.
Oh, that's great. It's always good to hear from you.
And good to hear you, too, and the program as well. Okay,
right.
And thank
talk
you.
To you I'll soon. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593, and what does that do? Let me see here. Yeah, I'll get it together eventually. No, my mind up and left me years ago. It's not coming back. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, well, you're coming in good.
Well, good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know we had issues Tuesday, but yeah, you're coming in good.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, you've been talking to John.
Yeah, it sounds solid here, so I guess it is.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of things. First, Cry Me a River.
Yes.
I noticed different versions of it, and I thought Ella Fitzgerald was pretty good, but what is your favorite?
Oh, Julie London. Absolutely, Julie.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
I saw
no, that's the version. And that was a big pop standard hit. So, yeah, I remember when that came out, you know, Cry Me a River. I was thinking of it as Crimea, like C-R-I-M-E-A. But I thought, oh, that's interesting. Yes, no, Cry Me a River. Okay, so.
Right.
Yes, Cry Me a River. So, yes, I'll play the Julie London for you.
Yeah, that'll work. Moving on here, I saw this on Daily Mail. So GM is recalling some Silverado trucks because they got problems with their brake pressure, and they're catching on fire.
Oh, nice.
And they said they're even doing that even when the car switched off because there's a chemical that, I guess, degrades the brakes and over time. And
well, and that, causing, by the way, that's 60,000 trucks they're recalling.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting in this is recall, you know, because obviously they want you to bring it in and all that. But in the meantime, they say, make sure to park outside. Okay. Well, yes, the fluid could leak. And if a short occurs, yes, there could be a fire. It's not like it spontaneously combusts. But the deal is that anything from 2019 to 2024, here's the deal. It's certain models, and the deal is the ones that are recalled are chassis cab HD variants that are usually sold for commercial purposes. So the individual driver who just has it as the, you know, family car or whatever, it's not going to do it. But I assume that there are some companies that have hundreds of these. You know, because the line is the 4,500, 5,500, and 6,500, all HDs. And so when you see classic cars being hauled, it's very often on one of these vehicles. So all the car shipping services is the way it is. And so brake pressure is causing the brake fluid to leak, and then that's the problem. Yeah, but 60,000. And like I say, I assume that most of these are fleets because these aren't the kind that the individual driver usually owns.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Ford is leading this year with 82 recalls. So I guess they're bad luck.
82 recalls out of how many, cars, though? You know, like I say, this Chevy recall is 60,000 trucks. I wonder how many Ford vehicles are involved?
Yeah, it doesn't go into that other than they're leading automakers with 82 vehicle recalls.
Okay, let's have a look.
Didn't elaborate on that.
So, well, actually, it's not a record by any means. 1982 was the bellwether year for Ford when they recalled over 274,000 vehicles.
Wow.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, we're pikers now at this point in time comparatively. So, let's see. But they are recalling nearly 200,000 Mustang Mach-E S's. All right, electric Mustang. Oh, great. Somehow electric and Mustang don't normally go in the same sentence that I speak, but nonetheless, door latches could falter, potentially trapping passengers in the back seat. Well, maybe they belong there. All right, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said Ford is recalling 197,432 Mustang Mach-E midsize SUV. A Mustang SUV? What's gone wrong with the world? This is just inappropriate. Mustangs and SUVs, electric SUV, Mustang. I've lived too long. This is not okay. Well, apparently, those electronic door latches have been known to trap people in cars, though. I shouldn't be laughing, but although it's hilarious. Nonetheless, they will update the problem by fixing the vehicle's software, just what you want, a vehicle with software, but you'll get one if it's relatively new. And so they sent out the fix Monday.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty satisfied with my Kia Forte, so I haven't had any problems. 2017, so...
All right.
Like 60-something thousand miles, so Yeah. I'm doing fine. It'll be a while before I get a car.
Well, yes, I still have a 1995 Z28. I don't plan on parting with it.
There you go, yeah.
And, yeah, so absolutely, yeah. I mean, some of the new features, they're really nice, but when I see what some of the new cars cost, I don't need those features. All right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, appreciate
it. All right, you're coming up to the news.
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Okay, yep, have a good weekend.
Yeah,
yep.
you guys are better at this than I am, that's for sure, is exactly what we're doing, and we'll be back right after it with James, and Jim called back, so we'll see what else is on his mind, and hopefully hear from you on WGN Radio. Of Sergeant Pappy's requests, Johnny and Echo's "Heavenly Lover." All right, well there you have it. So what are we doing here? Yeah, the infamous question. We have James on the south side who's been waiting for a while. So James, what's up tonight?
How are you? I was wondering how are you.
Me too. I'm wondering that too. I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Okay. Well, when you, earlier you were talking about the single love.
Darlene Love. What about her?
Okay, I remember Oldies had her book or memoir. I think it was they had it for sale in their catalog.
I'm sure. Go to Amazon and you'll find anything.
No, this was actually the Oldies hat.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you can find them probably anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Richmond was talking about what they call it, a valve, is what they call that stick thing that goes in your into the top of the eye. It's meant to help relieve the pressure. It's helps with the pressure in addition to the eye drops.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? It's called an Ahmet valve.
Okay.
And sometimes I don't know if he's had a vitrectomy or not. Meaning the vitreous humor is, but occasionally, the vitreous when they put it in there, sometimes vitreous humor jams up in it. Sometimes the vitreous humor sometimes pushes the whole valve out.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
easy. By the way, easy for us to say and hard for him to endure.
I know. I've had at least a little experience,
oh,
but
I'm sorry
I won't
to hear
go
that.
Into it.
Yeah, sorry to hear
but,
that.
Okay, but anyway. Oh, and I was going. Maybe you can put this on the long term request.
Oh, yeah, right. All of yours at this point are long term. Did you say Beach Boys? You didn't say Beach Boys. You
a
didn't,
white
you
sport
didn't.
Coat and a pink.
Oh, Marty. All right, Marty Robbins. A reasonably decent record. So let me add that to the list before I forget. Okay.
And I wish Jim and his family. Yeah. Okay. Good luck,
yeah.
God blessings, and hopefully hopefully there's at least a light at the end of the tunnel.
That isn't an oncoming train. Yes, I hope so, too.
No. We don't want any of the Looney Tunes thing either.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
You take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Yeah, it's tough. Again, easy for us to discuss, but when you're going through what Jim is going through, it's not easy, period. And ultimately, attitude is king, but it is really hard, obviously, to keep positive vibes and all that thing when you're frustrated, and especially when office staffs don't comply with appointments and all that. But I wish I could say it was uncommon, and I'm shocked. But it's not, and I'm not. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And Ruth, actually, we have her Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy keyed up for another request here coming up. But so Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I never expected to get in within a few minutes that quickly. You took me by surprise.
You just never know.
Oh, yes, you're right. Don't you know?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make a comment, if I got enough time, about I was going to say why I don't go to doctors and why I avoid them. But I do have an unsung hero that I wanted to mention to you for some time. He is a fellow who travels. I remember the travelers that I've met through my lifetime on commuter trains, buses, and things like that. And usually you see the same person over when they're coming and going back and forth to jobs and things like that. So this fella, I'm going to call him Champion, not his real name. But I started seeing him at a regular time several times a week when he would be mostly coming home from his job in McHenry. He was blind. And through the years, I would, get a little conversation with him of something. And he became blind as a child. Now, when he would get off the bus, often the bus driver would wait there and not make a right-hand turn, mm-hmm. but wait for him to cross the street in busy intersections with his cane. And I was always like, I don't like this lot of traffic type of thing. Mm-hmm. But he was so confident, and it was about in his late 40s, mm-hmm. and so he had a job in McHenry and took two buses, one where he would board and I was already waiting for the same bus, and then he would get on this other bus and get off to go to his home. He did everything, and this goes back to 2000, 2004, 5, 6. He did everything for himself mm-hmm. and lived an incredibly positive life, having been blind since he was a child.
Mm-hmm.
He had sight originally, but lost it at a young age,
mm-hmm.
like around 10 years old or so. And so I just want to put out an incredible blessing to him, because I spend 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 hours, sometimes 5 or 6 novenas a day, St. Lucy, St. Raphael, they're in mm-hmm. charge of the blind. And I believe in miracles. And I believe that physician, heal thyself. So he has a real good chance through positive energy to regain his eyesight. None of the medical things going on. Now I'm going to go into why I don't go to doctors.
Oh, God. By the way, try to be succinct on this. Let's not take forever. Just give me the high points.
Oh, no, I will never catch up to some of the other callers. They're 20 minutes, 50 minutes. I'm really short-term type.
Right.
Energy is everything. Electronic energy, the cell phones, all that stuff around you, it quits. Your healing ability does not come through when you have all this electronic computers, all of these TVs, all of these things going on. You're cutting yourself off of your blessings. So why don't I go to doctors, mainly specifically, throughout my entire life? However, after 1 year to live in 1995 in hospitals and nursing homes, I distanced myself at the homeless shelter. They would ask over and over and over, that's Breakthrough Ministries or Great Lakes Naval Base. I would not go to a doctor. And so now I feel like I found out my medical records are not in 95 and 96 when the 1 year to live was there. I checked with this, not either McNeil in Berwyn or Loyola University. No medical records in the computers. I do not tell any doctors what my previous medical condition was. Mm-hmm. My liver is healed, and I don't want them putting it in a computer. And I do everything to distance myself from having things put in a computer. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why. And I'm pretty good going on 77, mm-hmm. healthy-wise, not getting any exercise, because exercise is so pertinently important. Mm-hmm. I'm doing really good physically for the medical conditions that I had going back 35 years ago. So I have a philosophy, and it's incredibly good, and no negative energy. Least amount of time on the phone when you're hearing the news reports of all of the negative energy. Okay, Raleigh, that's it for now.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. There you have it. Somewhat succinct. Yeah, I'm proud of Ruth. All right. So we'll get to Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, and you too. One of your requests coming. In fact, Ruth's request. She wanted to hear Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company C by the Andrews Sisters, and she will next on WGN Radio.
Hello, all you fellas all over the world. Greetings from the Andrews Sisters. I'm Patty.
I'm Maxine.
And I'm Laverne.
We're making these B discs just for you. And along with them, we want to send all our love and kisses. Well, here comes Colonel Bronson. Hello, Colonel. How are you? Good to see you, Colonel.
Well, it's nice of you to come. And on behalf of the Special Service Division, I want to thank you for coming here to make these V-discs today. And to tell you that our records are very, very popular all over the world. But we're getting letters that say something is missing. And they want to hear the Andrews Sisters.
Wonderful.
So I know today that Mitch Aaron and his boys are going to give out while you sing for our boys overseas.
Well, thank you, Colonel. You sit right over there while we give out with some Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. How about that, huh?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Andrews Sisters, and I said I was going to play a V-disc, and if you don't remember V-discs, and most of us alive today don't, during World War II, they were records that the military put out, music and entertainment, and were doing it primarily for the troops overseas. The V in V-disc stood for victory, and they produced these even after the war. It started in about 43, did it to about 49, and it was a lot of big band and whatever was popular at the time, and they were trying to boost morale and provide a connection home for soldiers, but they became very popular. As I say, the quality was not terrific as far as that goes. But it was interesting how many people, again, the period of time you had a lot of patriotism and a lot of gung-ho people, how many of the popular artists were pretty much standing in line and volunteering to do this. In terms of what they looked like, they were 12 inches, they were 78s, and they allowed for longer playing than the standard 10-inch 78s, the shellacs that most 78s were. And part of that is, as you heard in the beginning of this, they had a little interview with someone from the military, and what they did was that they shipped them to the various ports of embarkation and then distributed it to the military units. And they didn't have any formal record of distribution after the initial delivery, so where they went and all that was not not really known, but that's a B disc, and those were the Andrews Sisters doing one on a Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. All right, so 888-876-5593. That is going to take us to Chris in Greenwood. All right, Chris, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
Steve? All right, how about yourself?
Not much. It's been a hot week this week with these hot temperatures in the triple digits.
I wonder, is there anywhere in America that didn't have a hot week? You know,
I don't know. Guess in Florida.
Yeah, I think it's been just hot everywhere.
Even the mountains have been hot.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the deal.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you. You ever heard about this 1994 to 1996 broadcast television realignment?
Oh, well, of course. This was...
Yeah,
absolutely. This was all of the repack, of course.
Because Fox made a bold move to buying the NFC conference from CBS and making it a huge deal.
Well... There was a lot more involved than that. Well, okay, I'm talking technically. You might not be. Are you talking programming?
Oh, like network swapping, like affiliations.
All right. You're talking programming. I was going with the engineering aspects, which is totally different than what you're talking about. All right. There were quite a lot of swaps.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. Like Atlanta, Georgia, they was going to be, Channel 5 was going to be Fox owned and operated, and when they were, CBS was struggling to find a home in Atlanta, and they was about out of luck. Yeah, but the last minute, Channel 46 took it over.
Yeah. This happened in many, many markets. It's not all that unusual. A number of reasons behind it, I'm sure, but not unusual. A little more unusual in the past in terms of what people were doing by the 90s, you saw all sorts of changes.
Oh yeah, like in Charleston, South Carolina, Channel 4 became ABC.
Sure.
And Channel 2 became NBC again.
Sure.
But in my market, none of that stuff changed. And even in Philadelphia, Channel 10 became NBC in 1995, and KYW became CBS because they was owned by Group W.
Okay.
Yeah, and in Baltimore, they had a three-way swap from Channel 2.
What you're talking about is very common. So what's unusual to you about it?
The syndicated program is still the same, and the newscast still the same, but not the network programming.
Well, when you say the newscasts, you mean the local newscasts?
Yeah, the local newscasts.
Well, right. The local station might change affiliation, but they're not going to change ownership. They're not going to change local programming. So whatever news department they had would go with whatever they're doing after the fact. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
The first scene was the church, then the altar. By side. The next scene
WGN Radio. I'm Ollie James, and I think that that is the song that that James was referring to. They kept saying a chapel. It's a church, a courtroom, and then goodbye, and it's early Patsy Cline, 1955 on shellac on coral. So yeah, 78 RPM. You betcha it was. So there you have a church, a courtroom, and then goodbye. All right, so there you are. 888-876-5593. Now we're talking to Chris in Greenwood, who seems amazed that television affiliations swap from time to time. This, Chris, is absolutely nothing new. Now, I agree there was more of a frenzy of it more recently, but it happens all the time. And while it affects the network programming, it will not affect the local programming or the programming that the outlet is buying, the syndicated programming.
Correct.
Yeah, very common.
Yeah, like for example, like WRAL in Raleigh back in 2016, they were CBS, and then they became NBC, and WNCN became CBS,
mm-hmm.
and swapped.
Sure. What I guess I'm confused about is you're talking about it like it's news or that it's something that is unusual. And what I'm saying is it's fairly common.
Uh-huh.
Happens
especially back in that.
Well, happens all the time, and it always has. The other thing is, depending upon the market and if they get other allocations, and this was really a lot earlier than the 90s, but very often if previously one of the big three alphabet soup networks was on a UHF and then another V came to town, didn't happen often, but when it did, you can bet you that V usually got it. Not always, but usually.
Yeah, unlike Greenville's Farmburg market, they didn't swap at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you remember when Fox bought the NFL rights from CBS in 1993, and a lot of Fox affiliates were struggling because they was on UHF mostly.
Yeah,
and they
right.
pick them up.
Right, and now, of course, it doesn't matter at all, obviously. So, yeah, not uncommon.
Because Fox became a big network, and when it started in 87... they had just a handful of sitcoms. It was weekend programming only.
Okay. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Beans Baxter, Married with Children, and mm-hmm. all of them, Second Chance.
Sure. Well,
and Tracy Ullman. Yeah,
not unusual. But you know the deal, and you probably know this as well as anybody else, is the bottom line is that if something is on the air that people want to hear, they'll find it no matter where it is. So it doesn't, just like with radio, it doesn't matter whether it's AM, FM, or if it's online or whatever. If people really want to hear it, they're going to find it.
Yeah, and they're going to look into it and hear or see it.
So that's just the way it is. So, yeah.
Yep.
And all right.
Yeah, and you know, CBS lost the NFL for like 5 years, and they got it back in 98.
Well, and you know, when you say that, of course you understand they didn't get it back through anybody's goodwill. They bid for it, and of course they have to pay the rates for it. So whether or not those are good decisions or not, very often remains to be seen.
Yeah, you know, and NBC, I think they stopped airing football like in the early 2000s.
Well,
and it took them a while to get it back.
Well, they might not have wanted to pay what it took to get it, and that would be a business decision, and I would applaud them for making it. You know, certainly, I don't know as much about television, but with radio, sometimes sports rights causes you to actually go dark. It happened in Baltimore with WFBR. They wanted the Orioles so bad. Well, actually, FBR lost the Orioles, but what happened was the station that bought them was WCBM. And WCBM so overpaid for the Orioles, the station wound up going dark. And then, of course, the Orioles wound up on BAL, the powerhouse. But sure, the number one reason that they didn't make it was overpaying for the sports rights. So sure, that happens.
Yeah, like those. I didn't know that. Since like if a radio station, like a small town, like for example, they overbuy Atlanta Braves, and if they don't have enough money for it, then they go dark.
Well, it's not they get to go dark. They have to go dark. They don't have the money to operate.
Yeah, because, you know, sporting events, it ain't cheap.
Well, that's right. That's right. So very often when a station no longer has sporting rights, it's actually good for their bottom line because they were overpaying. So, you know, the radio stations always have to make that decision. Now, there's a few ways that those deals come down in terms of those sporting networks. But the bottom line is the dollars are a big factor in whether they can do it or not.
Like Westwood One, they air a lot of sports. I bet that's a lot of money for them to air Westwood One sports.
Well,
like, for example, in New Orleans, WSWL, now they air the Saints and all the New Orleans locals and Westwood One.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of money for them to air a lot of sports on a AM station.
Uh-huh. Sure it is.
Mm-hmm, because they in a media conglomerate like they... Like owned by a big market, not
well,
locally owned.
Well, the problem is they're owned by vulture capitalists. I mean, the debt service, when you talk about Westwood One and you're talking about Cumulus, of course, the debt service is enormous. So that's a factor in it, too, of course. All true.
Yeah, and what if, like, for example, like one of my local stations, WCRS, aired like the Braves game. And they'll got to pay a lot of money for
well,
that.
Well, no, now they depending. That's not necessarily true. The affiliates might not in that way. They may be trading it out for commercial time, depending. So that isn't always cash. That very well could be commercial time.
Yeah, because it's cheaper to air high school games.
Well, obviously, it's free to air high school games when you get right down to it. But do you want
to? What about college?
Well, that varies. But again, if you're carrying the game as opposed to originating the network, you've got a totally different thing going on, and it may not be costing you anything. You may be doing it barter. You may be running the commercials in it. Of course, depending on how many commercials you're running, you're not necessarily making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, there are a number of different ways to do this. So, sure.
Yeah, like it. Like the now defunct 1350 WGSW, WLMA, they had national coverage of football on there for one point of time.
Well, again,
during the time,
they didn't necessarily pay for that.
Yeah, because you got to pay those bills.
Well, right. Yeah, whatever. All right. Well, that's all true. And that's it from here. So I will talk to you later.
Okay, and one more thing.
What?
Guess whose birthday is coming up on the 30th? Is a singer.
A singer on the 30th? Whose?
I'll give you the initial, L.H.
Well, of course, don't do that with me, because the first thing I think, Leon Haywood. And you wouldn't know who Leon Haywood even was. So,
Horn.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I see, and I went for Leon Haywood. I don't know when he was born. All right, well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's Lena Horn.
All right, very good. Thank you. Okay, bye. All right, so there you have it. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Although, I don't know, we're down to the final 15, and we'll see what we can do with Carl in Riverside, and we've got Steve in Western Springs, and Dave in Muskegon, and Sherry in Naperville. Will we make it? Well, we'll find out next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And the waning moment, so I'll just tell you this, by the way, this is the Heartbeats, of course. I won't be the fool anymore. What a wonderful doo-wop record. And I think that it was Donna who said, play something for Scotty, the late Scotty. And I know he loved that. Me too. Just a terrific record. All right, so 888-876-5593. Carl is in Riverside. What's happening, Carl?
Hey, forgive me, I just had to do that.
Oh, very good.
Pete's driving. Hey, Raleigh, you're in Arizona, correct?
It's true. I am, yes.
Okay, were you hotter than we were here in Chi-Town?
Oh, yeah. Not? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, last week, one day, it was 122.
But we got the ugly humidity here.
You're right, and we do not. That is absolutely true. And while we all laugh that when it's 122 degrees, it doesn't matter if it's humid or not, the reality is, yes, it does. So you're 100% right.
Yeah, but 122, boy, that's, hot, dry heat, that'll do you in.
Yeah, it will.
What the heck did I call about? Oh, forgive me, I think we've been down this, you and I have been down this road before with Sherry Papini.
Oh, yeah.
She's in the news lately. You know, they threw her keister in jail for a year.
Right.
But now she's saying that she never faked her own kidnapping now.
Now, here's it. This is 3 years ago. This is 2022. And she initially claimed she was jogging and was abducted and later admitted that she faked it with the help of her ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she's written a book. Now, by the way, I don't know that she could keep the proceeds from that book, though, because she's a convicted felon here. But she was gone for 3 weeks, said she was kidnapped by two Hispanic women, tortured and branded.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And she admitted that she, pled guilty to lying to federal agents and admitted to faking it with her boyfriend. And
She was canoodling with an ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, that was Reyes, James Reyes. And of course, you look at her current claim. She had to write a book, of course. So now she says she was actually kidnapped by James Reyes, the ex-boyfriend, and that her prior confession was false. She claims she was afraid to reveal the truth because she was she was in fear of him and her husband, Keith. And so, she got 18 months in prison for lying to federal agents and served the time and has since been released. So I don't know. Obviously, you know, what she's saying is, I was kidnapped, but I was kidnapped by the ex-boyfriend and I was too afraid to come forward. And so there you have it. And so she's got her moment of fame again. And it's interesting. Like I say, I didn't know you could keep the money. There was a Netflix series or something, or Hulu or one of those, a TV movie. Or two. So, you know, she's making the rounds right now and making news, which is interesting. Considering all that's going on in the world, why does anybody care about Sherry Papini? But I guess it's interesting. And Us Magazine did a story saying that they were still puzzled over three things. You know, three things. Why limit it to three? And so, That's the deal there. Supposedly, phone she dropped.
She's a nice looking gal, but all that glitters is not gold. I mean, my God.
Well,
So
now she's got a better story now, of course. So that's the deal there. And she's seeing a psychiatrist. I think she's been diagnosed with personality disorder. No kidding, Sherlock.
Right.
But it wasn't PTSD from the kidnap. Yeah.
No.
So there you have it, making the rounds. I want to see how many books she sells. I'm not buying it.
Well, hey, now that Karen Reed trial is over, we have Brian Kohberger trial coming up in the near future.
All right. All right.
My God.
Well, we'll watch that one too. You bet. Absolutely.
Yep. Hey, one more thing, because I know you got a couple people in line. I was thinking of a line from a song the other day. I guess I could look it up, but, I'm going to cross my fingers. Well, we know. I got a lucky penny and a mustard seed, but a warm and tender love is all I need. Who was that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because as soon as you said Lucky Penny and Mustard Seed, I know the song, and I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's a gal.
Oh, you know what this is? That's Shelby Flint. That's Shelby Flint, Angel on My Shoulder.
There you go.
Got an angel on my shoulder, got a penny in my pocket, I found a four-leaf clover, and I put it in my locket. Yeah. Shelby Flint, 1961.
It's kind of a sweet song, actually.
Yeah.
She's kind of a waxing or opining or whatever.
Well, it's your typical early 60s pop pablum, and that doesn't make it bad, but that's exactly what it was. And the Cascades covered it, yeah. But Shelby Flint had the hit.
Hey, I'm going to let you go. You have a good weekend, young lady.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
More.
All right.
Take care, hon. Bye-bye.
I hadn't thought about Shelby Flint in a while, but yeah, so it came to me. I can hear her singing it. Well, maybe next week we'll play it. It's hard to say. So let's see. Moving right along, Dave in Muskegon, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, you know, I discovered something tonight, and I called Amazon about it. You know, the My News app that Amazon had, that you could get local news in any given city on here, Channel 13 on your side.
I don't have a lot of time, so you got, because we're running out of time for the hour. So you got
what happened is they dropped that news app.
All right.
Amazon did.
Okay.
The company that had the ad up dropped it, and at the local level here in Muskegon, we don't have a single radio station that has local news on it.
Well, and that's a shame. You know, I pride myself on that with my stations. They're all local news. And I mean, on our FM, it's a ton of local news. But some people don't do it. And of course, if they're corporately owned and all that, probably not. But you know, some of us do it. All right.
Yes, and even the NPR one here in Muskegon doesn't have local news.
Well, it's unfortunate. That's about all I can say. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. All right, but I do. So you can't make a blanket statement because it said online here, it said, Dave says, no radio station has local news. I beg to differ. I've got one that does, yes. I guess about 10 newscasts a day, and they're 100% local. Steve in Western Springs, welcome back to WGN Radio. And Steve, we lost Steve. All right, breaking the Beatles. That's a treatise, actually. So, yeah, more than the last 3 minutes of the show. So the last 3 minutes of the show belong to Sherry in Naperville. How are you, Sherry?
Hi, Raleigh. This show is so perfect. I want to thank that woman, Marguerite.
Yes.
I had completely forgotten about Zoom. And did she say that? And I was like young. I was maybe fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. I don't know. But and like after school TV.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Electric Company too. But she brought back. I'm like, oh, I forgot about all that. At any rate, did she say Morgan Freeman and Rita Moreno were in the show?
Yep.
Or just that one song?
No.
So regulars?
I guess regulars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to Wikipedia Zoom. Yeah. All right. Because I didn't know, you know, back then I didn't know. I didn't know who Morgan Freeman was.
Well, they weren't directly on Zoom. What they were on, Morgan Freeman and Rita Moreno were on the Electric Company. And so...
That
was the deal. So they appeared on Zoom when it featured the cast, The Electric Company. So it's
I didn't know that.
So that's how that's how it happened. So they
I watched
were not
The Electric Company too. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, because I was young and nothing. I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you don't news goes right in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, the Electric Company had Bill Cosby as well.
Oh, really? I'm going to have to look that up, too. Sesame Street, I'm pretty steady with. I think I know everything. But,
very good.
Well, seriously. But I did want to mention a couple of things. As far as that first man who called, who I didn't retain his name, and he was talking about, what's her name, Darlene Love?
Uh-huh.
And he's probably asleep by now. But Dave Plyer, a few weeks ago, and I bookmarked it, only because Barbara Eden was one of his guests, and it was called the something 60s. Oh, crap, it was... It started with an S. But under Dave Plyer...
Okay.
Oh, yes, I wish I could remember. But anyway, he had, at the end of it, he had, like, the guy with the Beach Boys with last name Love, and then even Mickey Dolan, and he had Barbara Eden when she first started and how mm-hmm. she started. It was it wasn't the spectacular 60s, but it was a something S60s.
Okay.
And... the last interview was with Darlene Love okay. for that guy because he sounded really, really interested. And I bookmarked it, but my computer went dark and it would take me 3 minutes or 5 minutes for it to reboot. So I'm not going to bother that. But I can, if he hears this, and or you could tell him next time he calls because I don't know who he is.
The show is over, you know.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
I'm off.
Bye. Yeah. All right, so that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Monday Night Trivia will be the next live show. Tomorrow's a replay of Trivia. I hope you enjoy it. Don't call, but do call Monday night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.